Our scripture comes from Romans 5, and then briefly Romans 8, and that's page 1753 in the bench Bibles, and should apologize again, and I will too. The worship and prayer committee, what I'm doing here is they had to have bulletin information and a whole month early, a month ago, because of our secretary's vacation, and I'm speeding us up a bit because 2 weeks from now we begin the Lenten season, and I want to talk about Christ there. So we're going to deal with Trinity today, and if I can get into God Almighty, and then next week God Almighty and Providence, and then we'll come to Christ. So that's the plan, and that's why we're going a bit fast through the catechism here. So, Romans chapter 5, beginning the reading at verse 9 and continuing through verse 11, these words: since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, well, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And we'll end the reading there and move forward to Romans chapter 8, where we may get to this week and will next week, page 1757. And we'll begin the reading there at verse 28, these words: and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. These the very words of God. And in connection with this scripture, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 8, which teaches of Trinity, and then I think we'll read Lord's Day 9 too. Heidelberg Catechism, back of the Psalter hymnals, page 15, if you wish to follow the reading, and then page 16. Lord's Day 8, question 24. How are these articles divided? Answer: into three parts. God, the Father, and our creation. God, the Son, and our deliverance. God, the Holy Spirit, and our sanctification. Since there is but one God, why do you speak of three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Answer: because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God. And then let's read Lord's Day 9 too. I think we'll get there at least a little bit. Lord's Day 9, question 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Answer: that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Here ends the reading of the teaching of the confession. Last time we ended by talking about faith, and I suggested that if you want a one-word definition or a big, big concept, trust. And you heard it in Lord's Day 9. We so trust him. Now, what we're going to do today is move forward. The Heidelberg Catechism gets into the Apostles' Creed. And we're going to look at God, the Trinity. And I'd like to go a little bit slow through Trinity and try to not address questions you probably don't have about Trinity, but to address questions you probably do have. We'll begin with Romans 5, and that will bring us to the subject of Trinity. And then I'd like you to see, and this is why I'm overlapping a bit, that Trinity is a very practical and very comforting doctrine. And that Trinity undergirds and strengthens God's providence. In fact, I got to say that a little differently. Trinity is the foundation upon which God is the God of all providence, and because God is a triune God, a Trinity, he can provide just the way you heard he does provide. That's where we're going. So let me start with Romans 5 here. Actually, I probably should have read more verses, so I'll refer to the ones I wish I would have read. Starting at verse 6, you see at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ did something. Second person of the Trinity. What did he do? He died for the ungodly. And then that explanation. Why, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ, got Father and Son working together, died for us. Now, what we just heard doctrinally involves the work of the Father and Son together. But there's a lot of feeling and exclamation in here. Hear ye, hear ye. We should be touched not just by the fact that the Father and Son work together, but that they work together for us. And in such an amazing way that the response that's proper is, awesome God. Think Trinity now for a minute, for Father and Son are members of the Trinity. My guess is that most of you here don't need me to prove from the Bible that God is a Trinity, right? So I won't waste your time with it. There's a lot else we can do with our time. The bigger question we Christians have, I think, really two of them, but one of them is, how is Trinity a practical truth for me, and how is it applicable? Last year, in the church we were attending, I was teaching adult Sunday school on the catechism, which I just love to do in a class, and that's what the catechism was intended for. And I asked the class, now, you all believe in Trinity, right? And they all did. This is a conservative church. And I said, I have a follow-up question. How is the doctrine of Trinity applicable in our lives? How is it relevant? And I expected a bunch of blank stares and duh attitudes. And from most of the members of the class, I got blank stares and duh attitudes. But there was one exception, a special needs person. And I said last week about special needs people, you know, some of the best professions of faith I've ever heard are from them. Don't put them down. In fact, I think some special needs people are higher in God's sight than me because they're so good at trusting. It's like little children. Jesus says, you got to trust God. And little children trust trustworthy parents, and special needs persons seem to have a lot of faith, whereas people who are always questioning and rationalizing and intellectualing like me with all of our questions sometimes have little faith. So never put down special needs people spiritually. It's one of my pet peeves when, you know, they're one eraser short of a pencil and that stuff. That's me. And right along with that, by the way, is being the way children can be mean to children, or you get these cliques or cliques, whatever it is in school sometime, you know. My granddaughter a while back came crying in the house. My neighbor poked fun at me because she says I look funny. I said to her, Grandpa will never poke fun of you or put you down. That's so mean. I wish that your neighbor hadn't done it, but you're a wonderful girl in God's sight and Grandpa's sight. See, that's the way to treat people when you sense they have needs. But I'm getting off the subject. So here we are in Sunday school. One person has an answer to the question, how is Trinity practical and applicable? And here it is, and I want to sort of illustrate it with my whole body. That's why I'm here. He said, God the Father loves the Son with an eternal and perfect love. And God the Son loves the Holy Spirit with an eternal and perfect love. And God the Holy Spirit loves the Father with an eternal and perfect love. And Father and Son love the Holy Spirit with an eternal and perfect love. And Son and Holy Spirit love the Father with an eternal and perfect love. And all three of them together love each other with an eternal, perfect, and spirit perfect eternal, perfect love. But their love for each other was so big and so great and so amazing and so awesome that the love within the Trinity just exploded right out of the Trinity into a universe. And because of their love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created a universe. And they created a huge universe. We're finding how huger it is all along. And in that huge, huge universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loved each other so much, and their love just exploded right out. It big banged right out. And at the very height of that creation, they put human beings made in the very image of God. You could have heard a pin drop in that class. And I think that that person had a good insight. Now, it wasn't perfect. That person had a father who rejected him, so a psychologist might say there was a reason why he said what he did. But here's what I want you to notice. I think he had it right about a process. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in a relationship of love that extends out into the world and to human beings. I'm going to apply that truth in a minute. But here's what my Sunday school member didn't quite see, I think, and that's that not only did God, Big Bang. Have you heard of that theory of how things came into being? I never like to argue, you know, these scientific theories, but with the Big Bang theory, I want to know who banged the bang, so to speak. And more our scientists and philosophers are leading the way and becoming godly. That wasn't so 50 years ago when I was young. A lot of godly scientists and philosophers out there now. If they're cultural leaders, maybe they'll have cultural influence down the line. I sure hope so. But at any rate, Not only God's love extends out of Trinity, but so does God's every attribute. We'll take his almightiness. See, if God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reach out, create a world, and create humans, then love, yes, but also almightiness, also grace, right? Also mercy. God is the God of all grace and mercy. All of God, not only his love extends out. Now, that's the theory you need to get. That much having been said, and allow me just to stay here another minute. God is, first of all, his attributes or characteristics. And for children, I would divide them into three kinds. I put on top God's above and beyond attributes. Theologians call those his transcendent or non-communicable attributes. God can see everyone and everything. He's all-seeing. He's almighty. And then there are his like-us attributes. If there's his unlike-us attributes, his like-us, his communicable ones. And we like some of them, love, grace, mercy. We're not so sure we like others, or at least some people aren't. God's anger, God's wrath against sin, God's justice, that sort of thing. But God is all of his attributes. Now, the God who has these attributes is also God the Trinity. And the Trinity works out all that God is and extends out into creation. All that God is. That's enough by way of doctrine, deep doctrine for today. But what I want you to really see now is that Trinity is not just something inside of God that's irrelevant, but reaches out and becomes something in us. For example, God's almightiness reaches out from within the Trinity so that God Almighty can and does act in the lives of his people. God's love reaches out so that God is loving toward his people. God's grace and mercy reach out so that God is gracious and merciful to his people. But God's wrath and anger also reach out against sin. And God had a plan B, a solution. His son, Jesus Christ, became the person through whom God found, what I called last week, closure to his righteous anger about sin. So, see, all of this reaches out. But now, because Triune God reaches out and is relevant in your life, you and I, because our God is triune, may take on a number of different attitudes. Here are some of them. I am loved by God as one of God's people. And I, in turn, can love others because God first loves me. And Western culture has more love than many pagan religions. Because, for instance, in Islam, God is just one, and he is a determiner of all. Whatever will be, will be. And that's the way it is, and that's too bad. And our Muslim attitude is that if God is that way, whatever will be, and he determines things without any love, without any emotion, without any feeling, therefore you pagan Christians, as Islams call us, you are going to be taxed more, or you are going to be bombed, or you are going to submit, or else. See how your view of God extends out and then beyond you? And so we get in Christian cultures a whole set of virtues we don't have in others. Love is one of them. Toleration. And much, much more. And so therefore, we Christians have a God who cares and we care. Now, a couple more things, and I'll move on to providence. Because God is triune, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing in Romans 5, justification through the blood of Christ, reconciliation or made right with God through the death of Christ, saved through the work of triune God, and we can go on our way rejoicing because of who God is. And this is the point we got to get. We got to get the connect, not disconnect, between who God is and what he does and what attitudes we can take. Let me try to explain it this way a little bit if I can. We can say, and this I already said, I am loved by God. We can say, I will be above the circumstances, not under them, because my God Almighty also reaches into my circumstances with his almightiness. See the spiritual logic there? We can say, I don't have to live with everything goes wrong, Murphy's Law, whatever can go wrong will go wrong, because my God Almighty reaches out with his almightiness and he promises me that he'll take everything in my life and work it for good, even the junk, even the negative stuff, even when I can't see the light. Begins in triune God and reaches out. In the 1500s, I'll tell you about this, there was a Catholic, I believe, a mystic Catholic theologian who talked about the dark night of the soul. By dark night of the soul, he meant, we Christians can see God doing all kinds of good things in our lives, but once in a while, it gets so bad, all we can see is the darkness. But even in that darkest darkness, God has not changed. And sometimes we have to live by faith and not by sight when we can't see anything in that darkest darkness. And even then, God is still triune God, Father who cared for his people through the Son, worked out their salvation, and with the Holy Spirit applies that salvation. And God still, think of that man's Sunday school answer, God still extends not only in himself with all the good he is, but he also extends outside of himself. And God is still almighty, even if you are in the darkest night of the soul and that kind of an experience. See that? Now, with that much said, I want to leave Lord's Day 8. It gives a short explanation, which is probably right on, but I'm not sure it always makes that big an impact in us. Father created, Father with the Son delivers, Father and Son with the Spirit sanctify. Oh, a couple of things, if I may. And if I run out of time, so be it. We'll deal with the next Lord's Day next week. Trinity is not contradiction, friends. Anyone who's gone to a college course on logic is going to see that right away. Nor is it a contrary, nor is it an oxymoron, nor is it a malapropism. Trinity is a logical thing. God is a God of logic. He doesn't work contrary to logic. Water is H2O, two parts hydrogen, is it? H2O? Yeah, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. There's no contradiction there. And when you look on different levels, the physicists tell us that water at the level of molecules is about 99.99% air, with these molecules just going around the center. And water is also, when cold ice, and at a certain temperature water, and at a certain temperature steam or vapor. No contradictions in any of that, nor is there in Trinity. And allow me time for one more thing. Next week, Sunday morning, I'll be visiting the Sunday school class I used to teach as guest, and they're writing out questions for the preacher. And at the top of the list from the second commandment is this: may we make pictures of God. That's a long answer. I haven't figured how to answer it short, but may I suggest this? We humans have a penchant for pictures. The church has given us a graphic, like a little bit like these emojis it is these days, a graphic which is a triangle with three circles. And in the middle of the three circles, we have them all intersecting, one God, three persons, three circles, triangle, three sides, three circles. If you want to picture God that way, try to avoid picturing him as red, yellow, black, or white. Arabs were probably halfway between black and white, okay? And avoid guessing how tall he was and that sort of thing. Jesus, how tall Jesus was. Think of that symbol for God. Actually, the Christian Reformed Church symbol is a lot like it. Think of that symbol for God, but then think of all sorts of sunbeams reaching out from it to you. That's my suggestion. Now, you always get pictures of Jesus and so in Sunday school papers, but that's the best I can do with a difficult question. But here's what I want you to see. You'll imagine God with that trefoil, trefoil, triangle, whatever you want to call it, reaching out with his almightiness. What that means, in the language of Romans 8:28, let me read it to get the exact words, God Almighty reaches out with his almightiness, and therefore we can know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Wow! God's almightiness empowers him to work all for good. And then verse 29 is going to say how God goes about working all for good. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Now we'll stop here. I'll take up foreknowledge and predestination next week. But what I want you to notice now is that these doctrines we're talking about are very practical in your lives. They're not irrelevant. They're not just something to fight over like people fight over predestination. They mean everything, and here are some of the things they mean, some concluding applications. One, our God is a big God, so big that we have to have a concept like Trinity to say it all. The proper response to Trinity is big God, awesome God. And that awesome God, this second thing, is not just awesome within, but he's awesome without. He reaches out with whatever need his people have from him because he has the attribute of almightiness, because he has attributes like grace and mercy, and above all, love. That's what Paul exclaimed about in Romans 5. He reaches out to his people. And third, because our big God reaches out to his needy people, he knows our needs. He's there. He has plan Bs. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind, and with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. He's the God of open doors. Because he is such a great God, we can respond with praise and thanksgiving to him. We've got to get excited about him. And we can respond knowing that no matter what, even if we're in the dark night of the soul, God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's still almighty. And he still cares for his people. And we can take an attitude of God can do. Not whatever can go wrong will go wrong. God can do, God will do, and even if I can't see how God is doing, I can still trust Almighty God anyway. It's not my sight that makes God almighty. God is innately, inherently almighty. Now, in a way, you're really being challenged this morning. You're being challenged to think about who God is and what all that means for you. But you're also being challenged not to be a bunch of negative Nellies. Christians shouldn't have to be under the circumstances. You're being challenged to think that with God, all works together for good. You're being challenged to think that the last word and the bottom line, by God's grace, will be good. And I challenge you now to go on your way. Put it as simple as I can. Big God, he's there in my life. How good it is. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, my prayer is that we may understand that Trinity applies to our life in a way that means everything, including that Almighty God accomplished our salvation and works all for our good. Amen.